Are you a real estate investor looking to sharpen your skills?
Or a newbie
looking to become one? You're in the right place. Welcome to Where Should I Invest? Real Estate Investing in Canada with your host, Sarah Larby.
Welcome to Where Should I Invest with Sarah Larby. Today's guest is Suman Chakraborty, who has scaled from 2 to 200 doors in just a few years, coming to the country not that long ago and being able to understand the system and how to scale. This is a great story, and he's got a great mindset. And we talk about challenges and coming from India, starting his adventures still while also working a full-time job. And so you can hear all about that today. Also, April 18th, mark your calendars if you are local to Burlington at Haggerty's Garage and Social. We are having a roundtable workshop on investing outside of the country. So if you are interested in that and seeing how to expand out of just Canada and you are looking at investment options, that is going to be the topic for April 18th, starts at 6:30 p.m. If you are interested in tickets, check out midtermrentalproperties.com and go to the events section. That is where we also put the tickets for sale. They're $25 and we cap it to about 70 people. On another note, if you are planning a summer vacation, family reunion, any events, inspirebeachresort.com. That is my boutique resort and it is fully operational this year. Last year, we were just finishing with hydro and some of the touches. And this summer, if you guys are interested, obviously it's fourth season, but if you are interested in spending some time in the Carruthers, check out inspirebeachresort.com and send me a message and we can definitely work something out for you as a listener and make sure that you have a great opportunity and a great deal as well. On that note, let's bring in Suman and hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Suman, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing good. How are you, Sarah?
Good, good. I'm excited to have you on. We've met a few times at different networking events throughout, I guess, the months and the years, and you have a great story. And so let's start a little bit about you, like a 30,000 foot view of who it is that you are and what do you do?
Right. So first of all, thank you, Sarah, for having me in your privileged podcast. It's an honor to be here. And for me, I'm a full-time IT consultant. I work for one of the top banks in Canada as my client. And also I started the real estate in 2021. So I came in 2019 on a work permit and then started on 2021 because I was waiting for my permanent residency. So initially started with single family and then now I acquired multifamily apartments in North America. So that is the 30,000 view about me.
Very cool. So can I ask, like, I mean, I don't need to know exactly like what your portfolio has in total, but like, is it a small portfolio? Is it many brokers? Is it over? Because I think it's a fairly good size, I think.
Yes. So I have acquired like 130 plus units with my partner. And I have another significant partner, business partner of mine, Jason. And in last 3 years, 2 to 3 years, we have acquired 250 plus units in North America.
Very fast growth.
Yes, and it's all through the power of collaboration. I feel that what was happening is majority, like I came in this country as an immigrant. We are all trying to, you know, do the battles on our own. So what happened from there, I had that mindset of expansion and collaboration because I feel that I don't know anything. And that's how it started scaling up in bigger multifamilies with partners.
So that's quite interesting. So you came in 2019 and you decided that you wanted to invest in real estate and you scaled quite heavily, quite quickly. Did you do this before back home? Can I ask where you're from, what your background is?
Yes. So I'm from India originally. And before like in 2015, I had one property.
Okay.
So my mindset that time was blind. I feel that you buy real estate by closing your eyes and it will go in value. So, you know, I was a very naive. So to answer your question, I had no experience prior. So in 2020, 2021, I started investing. Like I believe in the power of investing in myself, you know, through the education and learning from people experience. Like, for example, you know, you have gone through such amazing real estate journey, right? I don't want to reinvent the wheel. What I'll try to do is, you know, I'll invest in something that you have to offer because So that's how I was able to scale. So how I differentiate is through the mindset. That is the first piece which gets stuck. Like people are trying to save that $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, but somehow what I saw that this number doesn't scare me when it have to invest because I know the value that I can get immediate. So that helped me a lot.
My mindset is 95% of success. That 100% is real. Now,
exactly.
So you came in 2019. Now, did you come with a bunch of money, like a bunch of cash
No.
just investing, or you basically came in with just
No.
enough to buy?
Just enough. So what happened was I was in States for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a little bit of stocks and everything that I had to liquidate and have. So that's the only which anyways I started in primary home, you know, like, so as I was maturing, that was just the start. So always I had a misconception that I need to start with my own funds and save 20% and put it all in primary home.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then I realized as I matured is you don't always have to, you know, first think of primary. Like if you are an investor, think of it as an investment. Is it making sense as an investment or not? So
mm-hmm.
I did not have too much money because naturally I couldn't save a lot. But even if I would have had a lot, I'm sure if I didn't learn the multifamily investing or other ways of investing, I would have extinguished my money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have limited money. So no experience and not much money to, you know, do this.
And I think it's important because I think, you know, like somebody listening to this at home is like, oh, maybe he came with $1 million. Maybe he came with, you know, but it goes back to mindset. And I also will add that you came and you had to start building your credit. So you didn't necessarily have a long history of credit.
No, nothing. So, and my first two properties were single family because I was just entering into real estate, trying to learn, right? So I realized that when I was buying these, like your debt ratios start hitting, like because these asset in itself is not a pro investor asset. So I realized quickly that you need to look at the market. You need to look at the market rules. Like, is it tenant friendly, investor friendly? What are the commercial financing, all those things were. So I had to pivot because it's very hard to sustain. Like with my first property, I remember $60,000 amount was scary to me. Like now I'm raising millions of dollars because now I'm working with like-minded people. The mindset is expanding. And as I said, I'm investing heavily in building my network. Like people like you who are established. Many people who are starting out, they just have that mindset of that I can save my money and, you know, buy a property. Or is there a free way of, you know, through YouTube or books? YouTube and books are good supplementary material, or it is good for information or getting an overview.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot replace the mistakes that someone established people have already made or the connections. So real estate is not just the knowledge. It's about your connections and how fast you are learning from other people's success and mistake. I think that's where people miss the point.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And you mentioned networking. Now, did you join a networking group? Did you just go network with a ton of people? Did you hire a mentor, a coach? Like, what was that factor that got you from first two single families to, you know, 200 plus doors?
So I did invest in mentors. So I became a PR, I invested in mentorship and not just one, but I think I'm part of 3 to 5 mentorships because like these are usually $10,000 price and I'm not scared. Like I remember in May 2022, when we met in the multifamily conference, that time I invested in 2 programs, which were each priced at 10,000 each, like. So because I know that getting back those $10,000 is very easy and I did not pay those upfront, but through credit card and all, like if you are serious in putting effort, like people think they will go into a coaching and then next day they're rich. No, you have to put in a lot of effort too. So I started, I started with understanding different mentorship programs out there and then invested in multiple because one program may have their own pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
Another will, you know, have their own. So I'm just trying to make sure For example, in one of the mentorship, I learned multifamily, which was more in depth, but other group was good for investors.
Mm-hmm.
So blending one knowledge and then, you know, using it in terms of closing the property. So that's how I used multiple mentorship programs.
And it's good that you took action from them, because sometimes people will buy them and
yes.
do all the coaching and do all the learning, and then they just yes. analyze the hell out of things and don't do anything, right? And
exactly.
and then they're in the same spot minus the money that they spent. Do
exactly.
take action. And I like that you took different pieces and you made it yours from what you're learning.
Yes.
So
right.
let's talk about what, you know, what that looked like. So I'm guessing you had to go out and bring in joint venture partners, money partners. Like, what did
yes.
that look like for you to get from like 2 to 200? I think
yeah.
that's the part that people are wondering.
Yes. So you are right. So what I did initially, so I've done 3 types. Like, I see buying properties in 4 different major categories. One is buying on your own. So I did those strategies too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, initially I got these primary homes. Then I have 1 8-unit property where seller was financing and then other was through private lending.
And these are located where? In Canada, in the US?
Yes. So I have a couple of properties in Ontario,
mm-hmm.
a few properties in Alberta, New Brunswick and Newfoundland. So these are the provinces in Canada that I'm part of. And then majority of the bigger commercial multifamilies are in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a managing partner in the US, because having a US citizen who has a strong network and the qualification is easier. So I have a portfolio there, a few of them in India. And then we recently have also acquired property in Mexico as well. So majority of those bigger party families are in Ohio, and in Newfoundland, we have like 8-unit building, and in Alberta, like 24. So that's how it's distributed. So I see buying buildings in 4 different ways. Like, one is buying on your own. So that thing I did. Then I also did some joint ventures where, you know, I have IT background. So some of the friends, we grouped and bought some property. And then I focus more on people who are inside the community, because they have the right mindset. Like, spending $10,000, $15,000 in a program needs a different kind of mindset. So now what I've done, I've focused more on partnership, mostly inside. So I did joint ventures and then also did some kind of syndication for buying the bigger apartment in terms of the general partner, limited partner. So these are the 3 different ways I have done. And the next vision is to learn and understand how the funds and everything are set up so that we can acquire bigger multifamily and scale much faster.
What has, I mean, it's all very interesting and, you know, congratulations on the success in really, if you think about it, 2 years, right? 2 years of really scaling. What has been some of the challenges that you would say that you weren't really ready for that have happened? Because I'm sure with 200 units, the more units you have, the more problems you have. You know, maybe share some of that if you don't mind.
Yes, 100%. So I would start from, I will go to the joint venture as well. But first challenge, I would start from the property which I started in Ontario. So what happened is, I was still evolving my mindset as an investor. So the first problem is, don't look at the neighborhood and buy immediate. Like, I never thought of the importance of having investor focused power team. Like, I just, whatever default I got, the realtor, mortgage broker, I just gone through the flow. Okay. And I was like, I need to get the single family without realizing the asset class. So that was the first challenge or hurdle I had, like, you know, because exit from these is only dependent on market appreciation, and, you know, it is not in our control. So that was the first challenge I faced. The second challenge I had was in the joint venture. When you are partnering, you need to understand that, are your partners also having the same mindset as an investor? Like, do they understand investing, or are they thinking in that way? So mostly initial partnership was more like a default, you know, like, okay, you were interested, I'm interested, let's buy that. So that was the second challenge that I had. Now in the multifamily side, as I did out of province investing, what challenges I faced was about not knowing how the province works in general, or the people. Like, as you go in this bigger multifamily, the process sometimes becomes very slow and cumbersome. So it's very frustrating. Like right now we are going at the property where you're not getting answers from lawyers, the seller is not responding. So these are the common challenges you will face. And the final biggest challenge that we have is in the renovation sometimes, you know, the budget goes crazy. So now we are tying up with multifamily renovation experts who have the understanding, who knows how to keep the budget in control. So that is another challenge which we had. So we had to fire those property manager and contractors as well.
Yeah, there's always delays and over budget on most renovations anyways. I should say most big renovations along the way. Where does most of your funding come from? Is it like a handful of the same people that keep funding projects? And if so, how did you find them?
And now we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors.
Hi, this is Dahlia, founder of Streetwise Mortgages and Streetwise Wealth. Should I wait for interest rates to drop before I get back into real estate investing? This has been one of the most frequently asked questions that I've been getting for the past month and a half. And I decided to put together this video to help answer this question for you, but to also provide you with very specific numbers for you to think about to come to your own conclusions. This video is being recorded on March the 1st of 2024. Firstly, let's start with an important question. And the question is, what is it that we know today that we are not sure about for the past year? Well, we know that inflation is finally under control here in Canada, and the last reading came in at 2.9, which is close to where the Bank of Canada wants to see it before considering rate cuts. They know that inflation is currently being pushed by shelter costs, including real estate selling, rental prices, and mortgage costs. And this is actually very important. They have acknowledged that shelter costs are likely not to decrease because of the high demand for real estate. And they're actually ready to move on. Here's the exact quote by the Bank of Canada's governor, saying, "We've got to look at the whole economy, not just housing. The Bank of Canada targets CPI inflation, and shelter is just one of eight components. Hence, if average core inflation dips well into the 2% range, rising shelter costs should not derail rate cuts." Guys, honestly, this is huge for all of us in the real estate industry. The last year, I know, a year and a half, actually, felt like we are walking around with a target on our backs, and that the Bank of Canada and the government organization are actively and deliberately trying to break the real estate industry. At least the Bank of Canada is now ready to move on, and they are giving up on waiting for a further cool down in the property values or rents. The cool down we've just gone through, in my view, was super artificial, and is driven by high interest rates. Even though the underlying demand is high due to the population growth and the chronic undersupply that we all know about in the housing market. You know what? Even if we park this high demand and undersupply potential price explosion for a second, let's say it's all neutral, we still know that historically, anytime interest rates decrease, prices start to go up. It's just a fact. So now, whether interest rates cuts happen in April or June or later in the year, everyone is sure at this point that cuts will start this year. Now, let's look at some specific numbers on what that looks like. If you were to find a rental property today, let's say at $600,000 to buy, and you get an 80% mortgage at a 6.9 interest rate, variable rate, and it takes a full year for that interest rate to actually drop down by 1%. You would pay about $5,000 more in mortgage interest versus having waited for that 1% drop. However, while you're waiting, as soon as the first rate cut comes in, prices can easily rise by 5% during that first year. That is an extra, are you ready? $32,000 in price. So if you wait, you are risking paying an extra $32,000 in order to maybe save $5,000 in interest. And that interest, as a real estate investor, you get to write off anyway as an interest expense. I personally believe we may see a much bigger pop in values than the 5% given the pent-up demand that we've had for many years now. Listen, I'm not saying that every market is the same and every market is going to appreciate or all investments are cash flowing. I get it. Things have been tough. So getting into a property with a negative cash flow is not easy. But I'm honestly heartbroken as I'm seeing investors today passing on some amazing opportunities that are already cash flowing at higher interest rates because they want to wait for this rate drop. I am happy to show you guys some opportunities like rent-to-own opportunities that I'm seeing investors pass on and that are generating $800 to $1,000 a month today. Imagine what that cash flow would look like once the rates start to drop. The takeaway, taking advantage of short-term or adjustable rate mortgages can let you as a savvy investor lock into properties now before rents and home values move out of reach. When economic conditions improve, as an investor, you can then refinance and see your cash flow increase. Please, everyone, do yourself a favor. If you're coming across cash flowing opportunities today or even cash flow neutral opportunities today, jump. This is the time to jump. Rents are going to go up from here. Rates are going to go down from here. These opportunities will be cash flowing beautifully in a year or two. And you may not be able to find them or afford them in a year or two. This is the time to make a move. Shield yourself from the negative news and the media and look at the data and look at history. This is the time investors build wealth and build cash flow. It's when everyone is fearful. If you have questions, if you're looking for a second opinion, if you want to look at cash flowing opportunities, if you want to bounce ideas off us, reach out. Info@streetwisemortgages.com.
And now back to the show.
Yes. So majority comes with mostly the friend circuit and accredited investors who are mostly inside some form of the real estate community. So I leverage social media not to publish my deals, but to add value and get a familiarity. Like, you know, you have to build a personal brand. So in last 2 years, 2 to 3 years, I used to talk like crazy with all kinds of people and not to be like taking something from them, but just to add value or appreciating what you do. So you know, keep a tab of all the people. So majority of my investors have come from the friend circle, real estate community, understanding what are their goals and what are they looking for. And also the accredited investors as well. So these are the main kind of investors right now. And also I'm leveraging my IT folks. There are a few people only from there. Majority is coming from the real estate community, known people and accredited investors.
So mostly real estate investors. So how did you find, in IT, like that's great because they probably want to be passive, but how did you find ones that wanted, I'm assuming you're the active partner in this.
Yes.
You're finding you're putting the deals together and putting the pieces together. How do you find in a real estate networking environment, the passive investors specifically, or the ones that you want, right? Because I think when you're partnering and you're bringing in investors, you're bringing in joint venture partners, you don't want to bring the same things to the table.
Yes. So few things that I ask people is, first thing is, what is your journey so far, number one, because I need to know what kind of experience or background they have. The second thing is where they want to partner. Like some of the people are like pro Texas, like they want to partner with me, but because I am in Ohio, like we are working on our Texas project too. They're like, okay, we don't want to be in Ohio, but I want to be in Texas because in their mind, Texas is the place. Some people, so checking what market they want to invest in and what is it that they are looking for. Like some people want to come in to understand the experience or other people don't have the time. Like people are busy professionals where they don't want to learn, but they want, you know, somewhere where the returns are best. So understanding what they are looking for helps us structure the deals and, you know, present the deals to them, like understanding their buy box, like we call it as an investor buy box. So what is their criteria? And that's how we identify them and we present the deal. And another tip I would give to your podcast audience is always have a right securities lawyer too. Like, you know, when we are raising capital, there are a lot of rules and regulations we need to follow. So what we do is we're always consulting our lawyers and seeing what are the valid exemptions. Like one of them is accredited investor, 150,000 amount and all. You know, work with those kind of lawyers as well. And that makes a deal more robust. And second is never pitch. Like I see a lot of people posting on social media giving X number of return and all those. Like I would say just, you know, avoid those kind of things.
That's a sure way to get in trouble. Don't promise specific returns on social media.
Exactly.
That's a red flag for sure. So that's interesting. Yeah. And obviously, you know, the accredited investors, your friends and family, like you want to be able to bring in people without getting in trouble. So, you know, this lawyer, like you said, is a great option, especially for a lot of money, you know, for bigger projects. You've talked about the syndication. I'm assuming this is in the US that you're doing as the bigger projects for the syndication.
Yes. Those as well are where, you know, like one of the projects right now, we're working on a 47 unit in Newfoundland province. So those kind of places also, you know, we are leveraging.
Okay.
But in the syndication, the challenge is it's 1:1 deal. Like you have the deal, then you have to present and all. So, and the capital required is anyways huge, right? You know, so I'm seeing like syndication, while it is a good model, needs, like there is a race to finish line because, you know, there is under contract. So now the goal is to understand how the funds and everything work. That way, we will be in a position to scale and help the investors and us as well have a much better mid combination.
Nice. So you're still working full time, I believe, in IT, which you're getting some partners on, which is great.
Yes.
I'm assuming you've got partners because you are going to be working, you know, 24/7, you know, or more.
Yes.
If not, so what does your team look like today? Like, how did you have to build it up in order to maintain and manage and acquire? And what are some of the roles?
Yes. So initially I started on my own, and then I have collaborated with business partner like Jason Yu, who helps me in the Canadian multifamily space a lot. We do deals together. And then Thomas Lorini in the US side, he's pretty good with the US multifamily, he specializes in that. So this is how we started doing bigger deals together. And then we now are forming teams in terms of having the acquisition and underwriting done by a friend of ours as well. And naturally we have our pro manager, realtors and everyone. So that's how I'm, you know, scaling, because every place needs to have the right power team player.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say your role is as one of the partners?
Me, I'm mainly overseeing the overall transaction. That is my main role. So I don't now go directly in the acquisition underwriting a lot. But I'm mainly focusing on the capital raising aspect. That's my main pillar, and building the investor relations and everything.
Okay. All right. So that's hence the networking and consistently meeting investors, entrepreneurs, and all that good stuff.
Yes, that's correct.
Good. So what's next for you for 2024, 2025?
Yeah. So 2024 and 2025 mainly is to, you know, continue to acquire the projects that we are doing. But at the same time now, you know, we have infinite capital, like Jason and I co-founded, where we are helping other investors scale as well. So
infinite capital is the name of the business, not that you have infinite amounts of capital, I'm assuming.
Exactly.
Just an assumption. Okay.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. No, I don't have infinite capital, but, you know, assumption is, you know, there is infinite capital out there. So let's go and grab that thing.
There's the mindset piece, right?
Yes, exactly. So that's the mindset, you know. And all the people who are asking you, or those people who are watching your podcast, they're asking that, I am just new, or I don't have too much capital, they should, you know, remind themselves that, you know, I came in 2019 and started it 2021. So it's just the right mindset you need. You have to put tremendous efforts and you need to learn from other people and invest in yourself. Like, don't be hung up for 5,000, 10,000 and, you know, lose out of hundreds of thousands of opportunity or make the costly mistakes which someone else has already done, right? So,
yeah, learn from other people's mistakes and time in. And, you know, that's going to just clearly, in your opinion, and you are also your experience exponentially, yes, you know, get you to that next step. But I also think that you have the mindset and the fortitude and the grit to actually take action and move forward, because there's also a lot of people that take courses and pay a lot of money, yes, and then just sit there and then, yes, that mindset gets in the way. So that is also, you know, what you, I think, bring to the table, maybe that somebody else might not, right? As they do this coaching, yes, and they take these courses, but, yes, they don't apply it. And, you know, ultimately, I would say, even if you have many doors, it still takes many years to really feel like, yes, you know, become wealthy. Because even with your 200 doors and you have partners, like, I don't know if you're ready to quit your job yet, but I will tell you, especially with these high rates, it doesn't mean that you're like raking in dough left, right, yes, and center. It takes time. You got to pay that stuff down. You've got to increase, you know, the income. You've got to decrease the expenses in your 200 plus doors. You're probably doing a lot of stabilization.
You're probably
putting in a lot of your own cash calls. So I also want, yes, to share the other side of it, because, yes, you will do really well. And I'm, yes, sure you, and you are, but, yes, you're also, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you're rolling in dough, getting like,
no,
thousands of dollars every single month in your pocket. This, exactly, stuff costs money and it takes time, even with a 200 doors.
And now we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors.
Experience Inspire Beach Resort. It is the resort that we have been building and it is ready. So if you are looking to host events, team building opportunities, retreats of your own, and just even potentially hang out with your friends or family or colleagues, you can rent out a cabin, you can rent out the entire resort. Inspire Beach Resort, it is an adults only. It is Canada's only themed resort specifically for adults. And the themes are really nice. They're really upscale. Like, you have like the beach theme, you've got a rustic lodge theme and a vintage Hollywood. And we are adding more every year, but there is an awesome space. It is on the water to host your retreats, your events, your business meetings, planning meetings, all of that good stuff. So check that out, inspirebeachresorts.com. Now back to the show.
Yes, and absolutely. And I'm so happy you said this, because I get calls from my, you know, friends who are not in the US. They're like, oh, wow, you know, you have so many, you should quit. I said, no, it takes time. You know, anything great, you know, these are just the seeds for the future, you know. So, and especially when the more you are in the managing role, you know, we have to prioritize our investor. They come in first, right? So it takes time to stabilize the properties. It takes time for them to pay back. But yeah, this direction is right. But getting the reward takes time. And the best part is, I'm not even in a rush. So, but thanks for sharing this practical thing, because people feel that, oh, you know, he's rolling with all this big money. No, it takes a lot of courage, stress. You have to take a lot of action. You have to prioritize your investors, you know, like, don't put them on stress. So,
and there's money to pay for the syndication, the legal, yes, like, there's especially that size, like your syndication setup, a securities lawyer, like, those are,
yes,
cheap. Those are very expensive.
It's expensive. And another question which I get is, oh, we are paying all the money, why you are getting the share? Like, you know, these are the kind of questions too. So that also helps us understand that this gentleman or gentlewoman needs to first get trained, like, how hard it is, you know, in the real estate. So that's how another way we judge our investors. And, you know, we want to partner with the right mindset people.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to make sure that you and your investors have the same time frame and length of wanting to stay in certain deals. And these, you know, whether you have 400 or 200 or 10, believe, yes, it or not, that person from a cash flow standpoint may, yeah, be equal if that 200, yes, person door has a 10% share or a 50% share.
Exactly.
Partners.
Exactly.
You have to, like, really look under the hood. And just, yes, because someone has 200 doors and it's amazing,
yes,
in such a short amount of,
right,
time, it takes, right, time to build that cash flow. And then it takes time to, you know, pay off the investors or whatever that exit strategy is. And then, of course, there's going to be some wealth that comes to it and comes from it. But there's a lot of building in order to get there for sure.
Right. And that is the reason, you know, like we tell people that main thing is what is the asset class or things that you are comfortable and what strategy. Like people get hung up like finding out the right strategy or maybe, you know, having that shiny object syndrome and trying to learn it all. Like, for example, we are partnering with ST in the arbitrage side. We could have learned and do, but it will take me years to, you know, perfect that field. So I'm always about collaboration and with the right people who can help us scale. You know, you want to get to the destination by learning from other people's expertise. So that's one message I want to give, because people are like, they change their strategy so quickly. Like today they are doing this, another time. They don't give that time because they're looking for very quick returns. So that is another thing that backfires.
There's no quick returns, and there's no quick returns in this type of environment right now. So,
But
there is for sure long-term returns, and they will do well as long as you can stay the course.
Yes, exactly. Staying the course and making sure we are prioritizing what needs to be done. You know, it's not a shiny space to be in, but definitely it's a rewarding space. But you know, you have to give out that time and dedication and go through the grind, what is needed to be an entrepreneur and investor.
Yeah, absolutely. Suman, it's been a pleasure having you on, and I really enjoy you also coming out to our events. So thank you for your support there. Yes. Where can my listeners reach out and find out more about you?
Yeah, they can definitely email infinitecapitalinc@gmail.com, or they can just type my name on Facebook, Instagram, Suman Chakraborty. And they will, you know, find me at least in the
Spell that out if you don't mind, because it's not like you have a name like Mike Smith.
Okay, perfect. Yes, you're right. So SumanChakraborty. So just search this in Facebook and Instagram. Hopefully it will come in the top three result.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure having you on, and congrats. I mean, it takes a lot of courage, a lot of dedication, or like a lot of working on the mindset to do what you've done in scale while you're still working full time, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So congratulations, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, sir. Great talking to you.